We'll be reading from John 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
Well, it's good to be with you this evening. I'm turning 38 years old in just 2 days' time, so the day after tomorrow is my birthday. And it brings back memories of teenage years where a birthday was all about who are your friends? Who will you invite to your birthday party? And so it's got me thinking through, because I'm coming up to my 20th reunion at school, it's got me thinking through those days and reading this passage, thinking about the question of friendship. What makes someone your friend? Who would you invite to your birthday party? Putting it another way. And tonight I want us to dig into this passage, because I think what God reveals in this conversation about friendship speaks powerfully to our experience and helps us to see what it is that makes a friend and what it is by implication that can make us good friends to each other. So our question for tonight is, what makes a friend? And we'll be looking at particularly at John chapter 15 and verses 9 to 17. I want us to first of all notice that a friend is someone who you confide in. A friend is someone who you confide in. See it there in verse 15 of this passage. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. See what Jesus is saying there about what makes a friend? They wouldn't be friends if they didn't know the master's business. They'd just be servants. But instead, what Jesus has done is everything that his dad made known to him, he has now made known to his friends, to the disciples. Over 3 years, they've watched this space and seen in Jesus exactly what God is like. They've seen God's heart as they've seen Jesus healing the world and offering friendship with God. Jesus has confided in them. Now, there's a difference between knowing about someone and actually knowing someone, isn't there? You can know about someone by looking them up on Facebook. I looked up Matt Greenwood on Facebook this afternoon. I don't know if you've had that experience. We're not friends yet, so I got to see all of his public information, which was really underwhelming, I can tell you. I think I found out that he had 2 kids. There was no mention of marriage or anything about what he does. He really needs a PA to work on his Facebook page. But you can find out about other people through their Facebook page. You can find out where they were born, how they spend their time. You can even follow them on Twitter and find out what cafe they're at. But there's a difference between knowing about Hugh Grant and actually meeting the guy. And I've now had a few good chats with Matt, and so I feel like I know him personally. The difference between knowing someone, knowing about someone, and knowing someone is when they open up their mouths and disclose something about themselves, when they tell you how they're feeling, what they're thinking. In psychology, as we were studying friendship, they didn't have all that much to say about friendship, but what they said was the path to friendship was mutual disclosure, and that this would generally happen, a healthy way for this to happen, was a little bit at a time, rather than you're meeting someone and them dumping on you their entire life story and all of their anxieties and woes. That kind of thing isn't the general path to friendship in Australia. What they said is that people kind of test the waters, but friendship exists when two people are happy to share their greatest concerns together with each other. That's the psychologists. Jesus says here that being a friend of God is when God discloses to us his business, what's on his heart. Now, being a servant of God would be pretty big, wouldn't it? Imagine turning up. Who do you work for? Oh, I work for Bill Gates. I'm his PA. No, I work for the Lord of all creation. You know, I'm in his business. That would be a pretty big claim. And I think it's an even bigger claim to identify yourself as, oh, who's Paul Whitfield? He is a child of the King of the universe, and one day he'll inherit the whole creation along with his big brother. But the biggest claim, I think, that comes even above adoption is friendship. Because there's an intimacy in friendship, there's a choice in friendship that is almost indescribable. Who is Paul Whitfield? He is a friend of God. The really important stuff, the stuff that's on God's heart, the personal stuff, that's what he's disclosed to me as a Christian. Jesus says that all things he's learned from his Father, he has made known. I mean, not every single detail. We don't know exactly how quantum theory works. We're still kind of figuring that out. But the big stuff that Jesus had seen in his Father's character, that is what is disclosed to his friends. And so the simplest friend of Jesus is wiser than the smartest person who doesn't know him. Put the simplest friend of Jesus up against Stephen Hawkins, who doesn't believe there's a God, and the wisdom goes with that simple person, because the big stuff they're on board with, they know. So first of all, a friend is someone who you confide in. Second, a friend is someone who you love. It's confiding and it's love. There in verse 13, we hear Jesus say, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Now, I don't know if you saw the West Australian this morning, but there was a Perth hero talking about the conflict in Syria and Iraq, talking about IS and Australia's intervention there. His name is Ben Roberts Smith, and he was on the front page of the West. He was awarded the Victoria Cross for risking his life for his friends. His friends or his colleagues were under gunfire, and so he risked his life by running into a bunker and taking out the people there. But the difference, of course, between this man, this brave man, and Jesus is that Jesus went all the way in laying down his life, and that Jesus chose his friends even before they were lovely. Take Matthew, for example, one of these men who are with him in this upper room. Matthew was despised by most Jewish people because he was collaborating with the insurgents or the occupiers. He was on the enemy side. And at that moment, Jesus chose him and drew him in by disclosing what was on his Father's heart. Philos is, sorry to get a bit technical, but you know, Philadelphia. Delphi is brotherly and Philos is love. So Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. Philos is the word for friend in the language that John wrote in. Philos is a loved one. We saw that it was about confiding, opening up, sharing your secrets, and it's about love. In fact, Jesus' friendship is about the greatest love that is imaginable. And I want to recognize that church is about more than friendship. We are co-heirs. We are brothers and sisters. We work for the king. But it's certainly not about less than friendship, isn't it? You don't come to friendship to, you don't come to church to put up with the people that you can't stand. Church is a place where we get to enjoy the deepest level of friendship established by God himself. Friendship in Australia is usually about affinity. It's not what you like, it's what you like. So if you like the same band, then you might become friends. Or if you like the same cake as kids, you might become friends. You find people who are like you and you establish, you confide in them because they're going to share the same loves as you. But God gives us something more resources than just affinity, finding the person at church who likes the same colour as us. God gives us the resources of love. Service is a means to building friendship. And disclosure, we can open up our heart's concerns to each other and grow in our spiritual friendship. So a friend is someone you confide in, and a friend is someone you love. But friendship also frees us to love. The friendship that Jesus gives to us is a freedom that enables us to love others more effectively. Verse 14 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." And verse 17, "This is my command, love each other." Jesus is saying that there's another dimension to friendship that his friends love. Now, I don't see this as something that merits our friendship. Jesus loved us when we were unlovely. But Jesus' friendship is effective. It changes people. If Jesus confides in us and loves us and we understand that, then it frees us, it changes us, it frees us to love each other. Because knowing God beats human approval. I used to be obsessed with being the most popular kid at my school. If you'd asked me as an 11-year-old what was my chief aim in life, it would be to be popular. I wanted to be loved by everyone. I wanted them to come to me with their secrets and confide in me. But instead of that, there's something that's trumped that. Instead of that, which is really for me became an endless cycle of seeking my own glory and in fact using and abusing my friends so that they would think better of me. Instead of being trapped in that cycle, God's love has trumped it. Because rather than seeking the approval of my peers, God has come in and said, "Even though you're a scumbag, Paul, that's all right. I have made you my friend." And from that secure base, I'm then free because I don't need any more approval than that. That's enough. And that is an approval that recognizes my flaws. And so now I'm free to serve my peers rather than manipulating them so that they'll think highly and treat me the way I want to. And as well as being a trump card for human approval, God's friendship is a sign of our secure future, that greater love has no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has gone to the end of the road and suffered death for my sake. My future isn't something that I need to worry about and battle for. It's something that has been won by my Saviour. And so I'm free to pursue what Jesus calls in verse 15, my master's business. Imagine your boss calls you in and says, "I've known you for a little while and you've been a loyal employee. In fact, I've seen the way you relate to people around the office and you seem to be trustworthy. So the time has come for me to tell you, Paul, what this business is really about. You know, it's good that we create these products and they get people queue up for them around the world, but the real reason I've established this company is data. I want to collect. Data is power, and we want to collect data. What would that do to your working life? Would you be obsessed with the gloss, or are you, having seen the boss's motivation, he's disclosed his heart, you would now have insights about how to effectively operate in his company? Of course, it would change everything. Knowing the boss's heart gives you insight for life. And God's let us in on his secret. He's let us in on what his business is all about. Here's the secret. God is friendship. The Father and the Son from eternity have existed in an intimate relationship where they disclose everything to each other. And God has drawn people into this friendship. He's shown the world what he's like by sending his Son to come and speak and act his intention so everyone can see. And he wants others beyond us to be drawn into this friendship as well. It's an inclusive thing. It's not a holy huddle that's limited to the number of people in this room or to a particular nationality. It's something that's an on offer for every man, woman, and child until Jesus comes back. That is the secret. And of course, it's going to change the way that we live, won't it? Verse 16, we've been chosen, the disciples have been chosen, in order that they might bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will last to eternity as they are befriended by God's people and loved by God's people, and as God's people confide in them about this secret that God is love. Which brings us back to that question I was asking at the beginning. Who are my friends? Who would I invite to my birthday party on Tuesday night? Well, if a friend is a loved confidant, someone that you confide in, someone that you love, then that gives us a framework to answer this, doesn't it? In fact, it puts us in a very powerful position. The Bible never says that God is my friend. It's always in the opposite direction. People are called friends of God. Because God started by making a choice to love that person and make himself known to that person. And so if I want friends, the ball is in my court, that I choose to love people and to make myself vulnerable, to disclose my hidden thoughts so that they might know me as I am. Jesus loved people like he'd been loved by his dad. And he commands his friends to love God's ever-expanding set of friends, his people. And thankfully for our many failures of as friends, as God's friends, as people who offer friendship to our neighbour, Jesus' death paid for our every fault as he went to the end of the road and laid down his life for the sake of his friends. So why don't we pray, thanking God for his friendship and asking that we might offer others the friendship that we've been free to do. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for making yourself known. The world would never have guessed what you were like, that you, the Father, would send your Son, that he would work and speak to bring wholeness and healing to your world. Father, thank you for the way he did that, especially for the 12, showing them your intention for the world. And thank you for the way they went on a mission to share your friendship. Father, thank you for your kindness, that we can know you as you are, and that we can know that Jesus laid down his life to secure our eternal future. Father, we ask that we might offer friendship to those in need, that we might remember your love and how you have secured our interests, and that from that position we might be vulnerable with others and bold as we share your secret. And Father, over all these things, may we put on love. May we serve like we've been served, knowing that Jesus shared your love to us. Amen.